Thank you, Paul, for reading that, and hopefully you have kept your Bible open there to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to be looking, continuing our series, building upon week after week as we go through this book or this letter. And there's a lot of different things contained. You'll see that as we go through here and get into some of the different things that Paul talks about. And here he's talking about something that we need to also hear about as well, especially here in verses 16 and 17. We're going to spend our time this morning on those two verses. Last week, Joe talked about Jesus as the foundation, and that's kind of laying the foundation. We're going to build upon that just a little bit further today. This is one of those famous chapter 3, verse 16 verses. You know, and if you go back, there's a lot of those contained within Scripture, the New Testament, John 3:16, Colossians 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16, 1 John 3:16. Note some of those at some time. There's a lot of course, the division of the chapters and verses are man-made and no significance really there other than just kind of coincidental. But this is a good verse as well, and we want to look at the content there this morning. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? You know, there was a story that was once told about a man stranded on a deserted Pacific island, and he was there for years. But one day he saw a boat coming into sight, and he waved frantically to try and get the attention of the boat. And eventually he caught the captain's attention, and the boat came to the island. And the sailor got out and greeted the stranded man. Well, they talked for a bit, and as they talked, the sailor couldn't help but notice that there were three huts on the beach. And after a while, because of his curiosity, the sailor asked, "What are those three huts that you have here?" "Well, that one on the left, that's my house," replied the stranded man. "That one next to my house is where I go to church." "Well, what about that third hut?" the sailor asked. The stranded man replied, "That's where I used to go to church." Think about that. That sometimes describes us, doesn't it? When we think about the church, what do we think about? If we have a church that we think there's problems, why are the problems there? What are causing the problems? What's the root of the problem? The church is made up of people, made up of individuals, made up of you and of me. That, of course, is a silly made-up story, but it perfectly illustrates a point that someone else tried to put to a poem. It says, if you want to have the kind of church like the kind of church you'd like, you needn't put your clothes in a bag and start on a long, long hike. You'll only find what you left behind, for there's nothing really new. It's a knock at yourself when you knock your church, because it isn't the church, it's you. Is that right? That's true. It's us, isn't it? We make up that church we're a part of. We're a body that meets here, a group that meets here on Sunset Street. Hence our name, Sunset Church of Christ. And as we read about this church in Corinth, we read of a church that was having some problems. They were struggling. There were some issues there, and Paul addresses those issues in his letter. But they were a group of people who seemingly argued with each other about almost anything that you could think about. They argued over the food that would be at their potluck dinners. They argued over who had baptized who. They argued over who had the best spiritual gifts. They argued about church discipline, on and on and on and on. Problem after problem that Paul addresses in these letters. There was once a preacher who was preaching about the church at Corinth, and he said, "If I had lived in that day, I'd have taken my family anywhere other than to that congregation's church building. I wouldn't have gone to their church 1 minute longer than I had to. I'd have given up on that congregation." And many of us as individuals, as human beings, might take that same approach, but did God give up on them? Of course not. God gave them every conceivable gift known to the church in that day. In fact, in Corinthians 12, we have mention there of gifts that aren't talked about anywhere else in Scripture. Did Paul give up on them? Of course not. He wrote two long letters to this church. He spent more ink on the letters of this church than any other congregation or individual that he ever wrote to. He spent time addressing these issues, looking at them, and encouraging them. And now here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul makes this dramatic statement. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? Paul was telling them that they were God's church and that the Spirit of God dwelt inside their collective hearts. You see, when the church is collectively gathered in one place, that's where the Spirit dwells. That's what's going on here this morning. The Spirit is dwelling here. Do we realize that? Do we think about the significance of that? Do we understand the importance of when we come together what worship is all about? I think it's important to note here that Paul is speaking of the church as God's temple. He says, you yourselves, being plural, are God's temple, being singular. And the you found in verse 17 is also plural. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, he speaks of each Christian as a temple of the Holy Spirit. But here he's speaking as the body, the group, the gathering, the collective part. As we come together as a church, he says, you are God's temple. You see the rhetoric in that question? Don't you know? As if they should have known. As if he shouldn't have to be going over this maybe another time. I'm sure he shared this with them earlier on. They had heard this before. Yet sometimes we lose sight, don't we? Sometimes today that happens to you and I as well. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. We have the promise of Jesus that if only two or three are gathered to worship and to praise His name, He would be there in their midst, be a part of that gathering. The Spirit being a part this morning as well. You know, God gave us an image of how this works when the first Old Testament temple was built. If you have your Bibles, turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I'd like to read just a few verses from the beginning of that chapter. Keep your thumb there in Corinthians, but turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I think it's important to see this correlation, important to see the emphasis of temple and what this really means, what it meant to those under the old law. It says, when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. You know, it is God's desire to fill His place of worship. He filled the Old Testament tabernacle when it was built by Moses. He filled the Old Testament temple when it was built by Solomon. And He has filled His church, which was built by Jesus Christ. We read that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church, the church that is in existence yet today. Do we understand the significance when we come together, the importance of this gathering, what this is all about? In His church, and whenever we honor Him by gathering together, His Spirit is here. His power is present. Our worship has added weight. Our prayers have extra strength. Our singing gives greater glory because of His presence. You yourselves are God's temple. Henry Drummond once observed that if you put a piece of iron in the presence of an electrified field, that piece of iron will itself become electrified. In fact, in the presence of that electrical field, the iron rod is changed into a magnet. When we come together, what happens? We're that collective body, that Spirit-filled, that temple of God. Are we worshiping Him in that way when we come together? Which brings us to a second point this morning. I think some people believe that being a part of the temple of God means they simply show up on Sunday morning and warm a seat. You're here this morning. I'm glad you are. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for coming together as we're worshiping God. this morning. But is it just a matter of warming a seat, or does God expect so much more? And I think we each know that answer. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21 tells us, "In Him," meaning Jesus Christ, "the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit." You see this idea that we should be joined together. We should be built together. Also, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 expands. And here it says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So as a church, we need to be joined together. We need to be built together so that we can offer the sacrifices that are acceptable to God. What does this mean? We don't have that Lone Ranger faith, do we? We don't have that Lone Ranger mentality. We come together. We build on one another. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. That's part of this coming together. How can we do that? You know, in just a few moments, we're going to conclude our worship time together. And at that time, we have classes that begin at 9:30. And some of you here this morning will not stay for a class. I encourage you to do that. Please stay. See what that's all about. See how you can grow together by knowing each other better. How you can grow in God's Word. How you can worship God better by knowing that person a little better sitting next to you. We're going to meet again on Wednesday evening. What a great time to come together to spend time in worship to God. When two or three are gathered together, there I am also. We so often look, or maybe overlook, that fact. We need to be able to say, and I think we can, that God is worshipped in this church. And I think that's what Paul is encouraging here in this letter that he has written. Here in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. We looked at verse 16 earlier, and then it goes on to say in verse 17, "If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred, and you are that temple." You know, you can go through the New Testament. That's about the most stern warning you'll read about destroying God's temple. God's church. That's something we should all take to heart. God is worshipped in this church. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "But I, in your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple." The temple of the Old Testament was a place where God was worshipped. The focus was to have a place where people could actually come together to worship God above anything else. And too many times we find people today who view the church as a place they should go, but they don't focus on the worship that should be taking place, maybe as much as we do on how we're doing these things. And let me say, that's important. How we do things is important. We go by God's Word. We go to the source that we have. We go to the authority that we use. We just sometimes focus on that so much that we forget why we're here. We forget the bigger picture. You yourselves are God's temple. You know, I think that as Christians, our life is all about change. Is that not right? Jesus' ministry was all about change, getting people to change their focus from how things had to be done or the law to the why things should be done. From the heart, the worship that God expects from each and every one of us. Today our church is all about worshiping God. Every single thing we do in church should be done with a heart that is bowed down to Him in worship. This morning as you sang the songs that we sang just a moment ago, what were you thinking about? As we prayed together, where was your mind? As we gathered around the Lord's table, what thoughts came to you? A very personal thing, a very personal question that we must each ask. But when we come together, God expects worship. The Spirit is here. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yesterday, as you did things, where was your focus? God expects that each and every day, but especially today as we've come together. on this Lord's morning. Imagine something, if you will, for just a minute. You're at home alone doing your housework, working in the garage, working outside, wherever you might be comfortable, and God Himself appeared to you. You see that light that is brighter than anything you've ever seen before, but somehow it doesn't hurt when you look at it. You feel the warmth of an enormous love, and it surrounds you, and wave after wave of feelings of compassion come upon you. That's what we have this morning. God being here, collectively we've come together. We are God's temple as we worship this morning. But do we do things like God is right here? Think about that meet and greet. We greet that person right next to us. Do we conduct ourselves this morning as God is a part of our gathering, as Paul says that He is? Worship means to humble our hearts. You know, we've gathered together in worship to be met by God, the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, the One who sustains our lives. Our Redeemer and King is present through proclamation and remembrance. He wants to communicate to us, to penetrate our inner self, and to take up residence within us. Whether we're singing, praying, or listening to God's Word, we should do so while expressing a humble attitude. An attitude of gratitude. Thank you, God. Thank you for being my God and this chance that we have to worship together. You know, right now, even as I'm delivering these words, God is listening to every word that I speak. He sees inside each one of our hearts and sees if you're eagerly concentrating on His words. I like what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. That applies today. Paul says you yourselves are God's temple. You're part of that. This is God's temple. We're on holy ground. We're in the very presence of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We're in the presence of forces so strong they actually created the universe with nothing but a spoken word. We serve that God. We worship that God. It's that God that loved us enough to send Jesus to die upon the cross. We must always remember whose church this is. It belongs to Jesus, not ours. We must always seek to interconnect with others within this body of believers. We must always seek to build each other up in Christ. But if I asked you this morning, why are you here? You might be able to give me an answer. Well, I'm here to be encouraged. Or I'm here to encourage someone else. I'm here to learn about God's Word. Those are all good answers. But I think the correct answer that God is looking for this morning, I'm here to worship God. I'm here to give Him my all. I'm here to give 100% of everything that He has blessed me with. And that brings us back to 1 Corinthians 3:16. Paul reminds us that the Spirit of God lives in us. In the Old Testament, God appeared as a cloud or a burning bush or a strong voice in the cloud. Today, however, God appears to us from our hearts, from within, and from within our church. Brought a little show and tell this morning. You guys have all seen one of these. What is this? It's that glove you can see. Now, this one's pretty new. I haven't done a lot of work in this one yet. Those gloves we put on. But if you look at this, what is it? It's just an object. I can take it. I can curl it up. I can pretty well put it in whatever shape that I want to put it in. This is us. Think about that for just a minute. What happens when we slide that hand in? That glove takes on a whole new shape, doesn't it? That glove takes on a shape of that hand. I can't bend it like I did once. And I can do a lot more with this glove than I could before this hand was in there. This is our life. This is what God expects. God wants to be a part of that. He wants to be in there. He wants to be guiding, controlling. You're all in all. And that's at every point in life, especially when we come together. Especially when we come together to worship. Philippians 4:13 illustrates this idea of the glove. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. You are the glove. The Lord is the hand in the glove. When you're filled, you're ready to go to work. But to do the work, God must be in full control. That's what we need to remember. There was a book written that's entitled The Forgotten God, written by Francis Chan. And the last chapter in that book talks about the supernatural church and what church could be if we truly believed we're the temple of God, as we read here in Scripture. And I thought one paragraph was interesting. He said, "What disturbs me most is when we're not really bothered that God living in us has not made much of a noticeable difference. Most churchgoers are content to find a bit of peace rather than a peace of God which surpasses all understanding." Philippians 4:7. We want just enough peace to survive the week or perhaps even the day. Why are you here this morning? I think I know why most of you are here. You're here to worship. You're here to worship the God that created you, to worship the God that formed you from the dust of this earth. That's why you're here. That's why we're to be here. But do we sometimes forget that? Do we sometimes need a gentle reminder? Here Paul's reminding the Corinthians in a maybe not so gentle way. But he says, this is what it's all about. You are that temple. Collectively, you are God's temple. And that's something that's to be taken very seriously each and every time you come together. When we come together, let's think about what we're doing. Let's concentrate. Let's realize God is here. We think about God the Father. We think about God the Son. Do we sometimes forget the role of that third, that Spirit that dwells within each and every one and is such an important part of our gathering here this morning? You may be here this morning and are hurting in some way. One of the things of coming together is we can pray together. And we want to do that this morning. If we can help you. Many here this morning are Christians. You've put on Christ through baptism. You've allowed Him to come inside that glove and to shape your life and to form your life. Sometimes we just need a little shot in the arm. Sometimes we need a little boost. We can do that this morning. Or maybe you haven't put on Christ through baptism. What a wonderful way to start this new week. On this first day of the week, this Lord's Day, as we've come together to worship, to give God our all. We are that temple. You yourselves, each and every one. Let's take full advantage of that when we come together on Sundays to worship. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing?